were talking before the season, and we were just, like, joking around, like, coming up with our handshakes at one of our team dinners. And I was like, oh, my God, we should – because I saw somebody else do it before. I'm like, oh, my God, we should, like, I'll kneel down and you can crown me. And I was, like, thinking it was a joke and everything. And my teammates were like, no, that's so true. Like, you need to do it. Like, that actually, like, really represents what you are. And so it just kind of went from there.
Bow down to the queen. Freeland's Caden Blanchard is ruling over every hardwood that she steps foot on, and that's a Duff Said. This is episode 23 of A Duff Said. I'm your host, Duff Tyler. Thank you so much for hitting the play button on your listening device of choice from wherever you listen to this podcast. Now, I've been off for a few weeks, got some time off for the holidays, but it is so good to be back hosting your favorite podcast. Now, I was in Bridgeport this past Friday night, and so was Freeland. The boys and girls basketball teams from those two schools got together on the hardwood. So let's start with the girls. The Falcons won 57-41 behind 28 points from their senior leader, Caden Blanchard. Now, Blanchard had herself quite a week last week. Not only did she have that effort against the host Bearcats, she also turned in 26 points just a few nights earlier last Tuesday when the Falcons defeated Alma at home. So now Freeland is 5-3 on the season, and they have a huge game this Friday night at home against Frankenmuth. Now, I caught up with Blanchard after the game on Friday, and that conversation starts now. 28 points Friday night against Bridgeport. Tuesday, you had 26. Now, I know this is a team sport, but you have a motto that sometimes you just have to show yourself off too. So from a personal standpoint, what do you make of the way you've been playing over the last few weeks?
I think that this year I really have to be like a leader on the court, not just like mentally. And I really have to be out there. Like, everyone on our team needs to be a threat, but if I have the skill, I really have to go out there and like show what I can do and be the threat when I take it.
I think you have to be the leading scorer on the team because at the beginning of the game, you guys have a ritual in which you're doing the pregame handshakes and you get crowned before the game. I saw this for the first time tonight. I was really impressed by that. How did that come about?
We were talking before the season, and we were just, like, joking around, like, coming up with our handshakes at one of our team dinners. And I was like, oh, my God, we should – because I saw somebody else do it before. I'm like, oh, my God, we should, like, I'll kneel down and you can crown me. And I was, like, thinking it was a joke and everything. And my teammates were like, no, that's so true. Like, you need to do it. Like, that actually, like, really represents what you are. And so it just kind of went from there.
You keep up the way you're playing. I think you will be the official queen of the hardwood.
Thank you.
Now, with this win tonight, the Falcons have now won 4 out of their last 5, and I know it's still early in the season, but what is your assessment on how this team has played so far?
I think we've played pretty well. We've been through a lot together, obviously, like our coach passing away and things like that, but we've really come together as a team, and we all want to play for each other, I think, and that's really what's like getting us through it. And I think that our defense, I think that when we get our defense, that's what really creates our offense for us. So when we work together on that, that's how we score most of our points.
I, like so many of you guys, was shocked to hear the news about Coach Z. He was a tremendous guy and a great role model for you girls. When you found out what had happened, take me through that. What was going through your mind?
So we were actually supposed to go to this scrimmage down in Goodrich, and we were all waiting on the bus for him. And we were all like, where is he? Like, he's always early. Like, and we were like joking around, we're like, haha, he's late. He always like tells us like we can't be late, blah, blah, blah. And then we like started thinking after a while, we're like, what if something like actually happened? And like we're joking around about it. So then it was like about a half an hour, and we went inside, and we were like telling the office, and then we're just sitting inside waiting for the news. And when they finally came back with the news, luckily we were like all together in the same place for it, so we could all be there for each other. But I just didn't believe that it could be real, and I really didn't believe it was real at all until the funeral when I actually like physically saw him like laying there. It was rough couple first weeks, but we're all getting through it together, and we all want to play for each other from here on out.
How did you guys react to that? Because that has got to be tough. I mean, the season hadn't even started yet, and he's been your leader through some of the biggest moments of your high school career, and now you got to start a season without him. How did you guys react to that and cope with that?
We talked about it a lot. We had like a lot of meetings even before the season started about how we're gonna get through this together and how we're gonna play for him like we have on our warm-ups, play for Z, and some of us wrote it on our shoes and things like that. But we talked about how we can't like say this is for him, because yes, we're playing for him, but we can't be disappointed in ourselves because he would be proud of us no matter what. And we just keep telling ourselves that.
The very last tweet that Coach Z sent out was a picture of you and him together and how proud he was of you and how he was so excited to see you further your career. And he was planning on going to see you at Ferris State. How would you describe the relationship that you and him had together, and what impact did he have on your playing career?
Z was always a relationship guy. When I was in middle school, I was like the little team manager for the varsity, and I would come to practices, and I would sit by him, I'd follow him around, help like get balls and stuff. He taught me so much, and he always wanted to create that relationship with all of his players. I think we were pretty close. He would drive us places, like we would go over to his house as a team and have like a bonfire and play like cornhole and stuff like that. He's definitely like one of the closest I've ever been with my coaches. Like he would talk to me about just see how I was doing in the summer, even if it wasn't about basketball. Like he'd come to our volleyball games. He was just there for everything. He was like, because my dad lives like an hour away, so like if I ever need anything, he was like a father figure, like close to home for me.
And now Coach Hershenberger is in charge of the team, and this is someone you've known for a really long time. So was there really any better choice to take over on such short notice for the Falcons than him?
No, I think he was a really good choice, especially like my freshman year. All the seniors now were on our freshman year with him as the coach. So like he already knew all of us. He already knew all the JV girls from last year because he was the JV coach last year. So he already like knew all of our backgrounds, knows our strengths and weaknesses. And him and Z were like best friends. So he knew exactly what Z was planning, exactly like what he wanted to get done, stuff like that.
Now, I want to touch on more in your Falcon career, because you've still got a lot of games to go here at Freeland before it's all said and done. But I do want to touch on the fact that you are going to Ferris State later this year. And you had a lot of offers on the table, but nobody put anything better on the table than Ferris State. And I hear it went much further than just an offer. From what I read, they had such a great spread there. You said the food there was amazing. So I want to know, what was on the menu that was so good that you said, you know what, Ferris State is where I want to be?
I forget what it's called, but one of their like open places where they had to eat, you could get Mexican, you could get Chinese, like Japanese, they had dessert, they had slushies, they had fruit, they had breakfast food. They just had like all different options, so no matter what time of the day it was, you really could just get anything you wanted, and I really liked the variety, I guess.
That is quite a variety. You've pretty much have put together a big smorgasbord there. Did you get it all at once, or how many trips did that take?
Oh, I only had one. You know, I didn't want to overdo it there, but I did. I had a slushie, and you know, they made me get a piece of cheesecake afterwards to eat. So,
dude, you always got to go cheesecake. What's your favorite cheesecake?
I would say strawberry cheesecake.
Mine too. Good call. But what else was it about Ferris State that really attracted you to the university and made you decide that's where you want to go to play college ball?
I really liked the size of it. It wasn't like huge, and it wasn't like really small, just like a bigger high school as a college. I guess like Freeland itself is like kind of a smaller, like middle, not too big, not too small, so it like felt like home. And then the coaches there are awesome. They made me, and the team made me feel like really welcome and everything. And then the location, it wasn't like super close where like I was still like really close, and it wasn't like super far like out of state. It was like a good distance where I can like come home but also be away and like do my own thing.
Now, once you graduate college, I found this really interesting. You want to be a chiropractor. What got you interested in that?
Well, I actually did my senior presentation on this today. So I first wanted to be like a physical therapist because I want some like sports aspect in my future. Like I love sports. I want that to be in my future. And I ended up going to the chiropractor, and I found, and like I really liked it there. And my chiropractor, Dr. Heidi, who is like a mentor to me, she really showed me how to like put the sports aspect into it, and she helped me. Like I sprained my ankle, and she really helped me like heal it because she had the same injury, and she really was just like made me feel like super welcome and everything. I just want to make a difference for people like that. and physical therapists now have to get like a doctorate. So I don't really want to, I mean, that's like 8 to 10 years. I know chiropractic is at 7.5, but still a little bit shorter. So, yeah.
I've been going to chiropractors for years, and I got to tell you, they're a godsend. So you have picked the right profession there. But as far as being a chiropractor and the community of Freeland, you were talking about how it's not too big, not too small. Is that where you would like to have your practice, or are you looking somewhere out of the area?
I don't know. I really haven't decided yet. I grew up in, I don't know if you know where Twining is.
That's one I've not heard of yet.
By the Standish area.
I do know the Standish area.
Yeah. So, like, I grew up in, like, really, really small. Like, you don't even know where Twining is. So, like.
No, I don't.
So, I grew up really, really small. And then I've also lived in, like, Detroit when I was younger. And then moved to Freeland, which is, like, kind of, like, the middle. I think I want to live somewhere in the middle. I don't want to live in, like, a really big city where, like. You know, like, driving's kind of hard, and I don't want to, I don't know, I kind of like the small town vibe a little bit, but where everyone knows, like, everyone and, like, that stuff.
I know this is not a visual medium, but can you point Twining on the hand? Can you point out where that is? I'm looking right at your hand now. Okay, so you are kind of underneath the index finger there.
Yeah, it's, like all gray is over here. It's, like, in between. You know where Omer is? Right.
That's another one. You've got me stumped here.
Omer is the smallest city in Michigan. Twining is like right connected, right next to it. So it goes like it's like Standish, like right up in here, then Omer, then all gray, and Twining's like a little bit over there.
All right, I'm gonna have to go check that out. Is there like any like destinations in Twining that I need to know about this summer?
My house has a pond and a rope swing, and we have trails and like dirt bikes and four wheelers. You can call them ride, I guess.
Party at the Blanchard House this summer. You heard it. Caden said we're all invited. Now, getting back to high school basketball, it was Coach Z who your freshman year tapped you on the shoulder and said you were gonna join them on their playoff run that eventually led to the Breslin Center. When he told you that you had made it to the varsity team here at Freeland, what was going through your mind?
I was really excited because whenever, you know, growing up as a little girl, going to high school games, like being the manager, that's always like your dream is to be on varsity, like your first year and everything. So getting moved up, I was super excited. I didn't end up playing or anything, but going out on like the MSU court at the Breslin, it was just amazing, like, seeing, like, everything. And even though I didn't play, like, just having that experience. And then last year going to Calvin to play in the state championship, that was just, like, really amazing. And it was – I'll never forget it.
That experience had to be pretty amazing for you as a freshman.
Yeah, as a freshman, you know, yeah, just coming into high school and seeing that atmosphere. And we had, like, a huge student section, and so did they. And, like, even though we lost, like, the atmosphere was just crazy the whole time.
I know, I was there. I couldn't give you guys the karma that night that I sometimes bring with me to these people, but, you know, I have had a good track record with people on the podcast, so who knows, you might go for 50 the next game.
Oh, awesome. I'm down for that.
I think everybody is down for the Duff said karma, but as far as all the memories that you put together here at Freeland, where do those state tournament runs rank?
Definitely at the top. One of the funny things about last year going to the state championship, we actually ended up taking a party bus because since it was like spring break time and people were going everywhere, all of the charter buses were booked across like the whole state, so they couldn't get us one. So we ended up taking a party bus as a team, and like that was awesome riding there together. And then I think playing the state championship was like awesome and everything, but playing that Final Four game and coming back in the second half, that – and, like, doing that with my teammates and, like, knowing we're going to state championship, I think that was probably the top.
And what about the relationships that you built here at Freeland? How many have you built, and what are some that you're hoping that will continue after you leave Freeland?
I don't even know how many I've built. There are so many. And I already have some, like, outside Freeland, like, the girls who graduated last year, some of them still come to our games, and, like, I'll see them, run up to them, give them a hug, catch up, see how they're doing. And, like, when Z passed away, we all were texting each other, like, making sure we were all, like, okay with it and everything, because we had all played together and experienced him and got really close with him and everything. And this group of seniors right here that I'm with, we've been together since, well, I moved here in sixth grade, we've been together since then, so... It's been a really long time, and we're just really close with each other, I'd say.
Basketball has not just taken you to the Breslin Center. It has taken you all over the country. You have been everywhere. You've been doing travel ball since you were in the fourth grade. What were those journeys like?
They're pretty awesome. I think my favorite place to go would have to be Washington, D.C., because this one hotel we stayed in as a team, it was just so much fun hanging out and stuff. And then we could walk down by the pier and the water and then go see all the monuments. And then Georgia, downtown Georgia, that was another one of my favorite spots. We went to Louisville, Kentucky every year. All around Michigan, the UP, when I was younger, we used to go up there and play in this tournament. Just really, we've been everywhere. I don't think... More of the east side of the country, I would say. We haven't really been to the west side that much, but I've been there on vacation and everything. So.
You listed D.C. as one of your favorites. So aside from basketball, what are some of the memories that you had on that trip that stand out?
One of my favorite memories is as a team, I was with the Mystics at this point, and we went and we built our own bear at Build-A-Bear, and we like brought it around with us to all of our games for our last tournament. And that was fun, and then we won.
Do you still have it?
The program has, I don't have it, but like the program has it, and we're going to like, we started the tradition, we're going to pass it down to the younger girls every year, who's like the dream team, like the top team's going to have it. And then another memory, me and Chanel King, who goes to Carmen Ainsworth, we stayed together in a room. That was a blast. We went on like the Ferris wheel that overlooks the water. We went and we've seen all the monuments, like the Lincoln Memorial, stuff like that. And that was just awesome to do with her.
What kind of bear would you go with if you could build any kind of bear?
I think I'd have to go with another basketball bear just because that's my favorite sport and everything, but yeah.
And do you have a favorite team that the bear could wear a jersey for?
I don't really, we don't have TV at my house. We have like Netflix and everything, so I don't really like watch that much. All those like Disney Plus now.
Have you seen Baby Yoda yet?
I have not seen Baby Yoda. Have you?
Me either. Oh. I'm going to check it out this Monday.
Oh, awesome. Awesome.
I'll have to hit you up on Twitter and let you know how that is. As far as this being your senior year, is there one more run to the state finals in this team?
I really hope so. I think, you never know what can happen. Every game's going to be different, but I think if we work as a team, like, and once we reach our full potential, that we're going to be a great team, and it's going to be really hard to stop us.
And lastly, when your time here at Freeland has come to an end, and you look back on these days a few years from now, what are some of the memories and the moments that are really going to stand out for you as a Freeland Falcon?
Not even just basketball, I think. Like this year for volleyball, I just recently actually got one of my highlights for volleyball into my email from Huddle from like our regional games. And winning our regional championship this year for volleyball and beating Birch Run, who we'd already lost to two times, that was just crazy. And that last point when everyone like was jumping together in that huddle, that's one of the experiences I'll never forget. And then this year actually playing Bay City Western, have you seen the video? Where I made the game-winning, I missed the free throw.
Someone was telling me about it in the stands. I missed out on that. I haven't gotten a chance to see very much Mid-Michigan basketball. Tonight was the first game that I got to see you play this season. And in addition to seeing you get crowned, I saw you go off for 28 points. So that's a good start.
Yeah. It was a 1-1 free throw. And I missed it. We were tied 29-29, but none of them went in for the rebound. So I got my own rebound, made the shot with 1 second left, and we won 39-21. And like, I was like running off the court, and just my team like surrounding me, like hyping up everything. That was awesome. And then going to the Final Four and state final again, like that's always a good time.
They're going to be talking about that for years to come. And after you've been on this podcast, they're going to be talking about that huge game that you had immediately following you being on a Duff's Ed. Caden Blanchard, thank you so much for making the time this week. It was a great conversation. Best of luck to you moving forward.
Thank you so much for having me.
Caden Blanchard of the Freeland girls basketball team. Now, as you heard during that conversation, the Falcons have a new head coach this season. Matt Hershenberger was given the role following the untimely passing of Tom Zielinski just prior to the start of this season. Hershenberger has been with this team for the last decade as an assistant, so like you heard Caden say, there was really no one who knew these girls better than him, and there was no one better suited for the role than him. Now, in addition to Freeland, Hershenberger has been an assistant coach for girls and boys teams at Arthur Hill and Nouvelle High Schools in Saginaw. Now, this is his first time being a head coach. I caught up with him to talk about that and a number of other topics, and that conversation starts now. You won tonight against Bridgeport, and you got 28 points tonight from Caden Blanchard, 26 on Tuesday. What do you make of the way that she's been performing for you guys over the last week?
Caden's been outstanding, but she puts an awful lot of work into it. She's the type of kid that I'll come to practice, and I know who's going to be there first. You know, she's been doing that, honestly, since she's been a freshman. You know, Caden, I'd find her into the gym. She's shooting free throws, as many free throws as she can make in 10 minutes. And so she's the type of kid, and, you know, she probably mentioned to you that she's going to be going to Ferris to play basketball, and I can tell you they're getting one heck of a player.
I know she said it was the food at Ferris State that really drew her in.
Yes, I have heard that about Ferris. I did a visit to Ferris and with one of my kids before, and they were visiting different colleges, and they did mention that the food was pretty good there. Yeah. So.
You know, I'm hoping after the Michigans and the Michigan States and some of the other schools in Michigan hear this, they're going to hire Gordon Ramsay to improve the food, so that'll improve the style of basketball that they play out there.
If they can get a player like Caden Blanchard, they might want to think about it. You're right.
So you guys have now won 4 out of your last 5. You've really turned things around from where you were at the beginning of the season. What do you credit to that turnaround?
I think I give the credit to how hard the girls are working. You know, we have a little a shirt that they wear in warm-ups. It says "All In for Z" right on the sleeve, and that's exactly what they're doing. You know, before the season, you know, I could see, you know, Coach Z was so excited to coach these group of girls, and I do have some experience with them as well. I've coached them as freshmen and JV before, and I knew why he was excited. You know, the way that they operate. Not only as far as on the court, but on a personal level. They come into practice and they work hard and they bring energy. And I've compliments, and I try to tell them all the time about those compliments. You know, people mention, even the people who are on the court and the people who are not on the court, they mention things like, man, your bench is really into it. Or, you know, the players on the court are playing with a lot of energy. And I go back and I tell them, I make sure and tell those girls that compliment, because they really, and even this year, you know, with everything that's happened with them, I mean, to be honest with you, they're I would say they're doing better than I am half the time in terms of how, you know, responding to things. And so it's been amazing. And so, and some of them are just getting experience. You know, let's face it, last year they did lose quite a few players. And so now some of these girls have experience, and it's starting to show on the court.
It is really tough when you're in high school to lose not only a coach but a mentor like these guys had in Tom Zielinski. But from where you're coming from, this is a guy that you've been friends with for a number of years. How have you been holding up through all this?
You know, at first I couldn't believe it. And sometimes when I just sitting by myself, I still can't believe it. I can't believe it's happened. Because Tom was a guy, the best way I could describe him, you may have had a chance to meet him. He was kind of larger than life. When he was there, it was just somebody you could count on. You know what I mean? And the way that he was, he really had a gift at being so aware of things. He would do things all the time that just amazed me. In my conversations with him, he would teach me through that. You know, he would say, you know what, I'm going to do this. And I'm like, in my mind, I would have never thought of that. You know what I mean? And the way he communicates with his girls, he did things, so many things that I can't even name them all. But we would talk all the time. He used to drive third shift. So I kind of kept him company on the road. He'd get on the road about, usually about 9 o'clock. I'd start talking to him. He'd start talking to me. And sometimes those talks would last the whole way to Lansing. And, you know, a lot of people probably thinking, oh, what are those guys? You know, a lot of it was just talking about, you know, other things other than, you know, they were basketball related, but relationship things. And so, yeah, it's been a challenge, you know, with that.
The best way I could describe Tom Zielinski in terms, not just as a guy who always made me feel welcome and always appreciated the time that I took to come out to Freeland to watch you guys play, to cover your games, but he was also a guy that was cool as a cucumber. And the reason I say that is because there was a game I went to cover you guys, and I was doing a separate story for the news station I work for. And we got to talking on the sidelines, and this is before a big game. And then he tells me, have you ever heard the story about my DJ days? And I was like, no, I had no idea. I just always pictured you as Tom Zielinski, the basketball coach. And he said, yeah, one day I was at Central. My daughter was having a party or something like that, and they didn't have anybody to play music. So Coach Z stepped in. And then all of a sudden I was like, well, that makes you Coach Tommy Z, DJ Z.
Yes, and that is very appropriate, because they would call him Coach DJ Tommy Z. And I know the story that you speak of, so I know that you've met Coach Z and you've talked to him.
I passed the test.
Yes, that's a great story. You know, when you talk about music, he loved it. So one of the things that I, again, here's an example of Tom doing things interesting is he got a speaker in practice. And he's talking to me. He's like, you ever get music in practice when they're doing drills and stuff like that? I was like, no, I never have. Never thought of it, you know. And then all of a sudden, of course, I always told Tom, I said, Tom, you are so influential with me. Next thing I know, I'm buying myself a speaker. I've got music going in practice. And you know what? The girls love it. And that's just that is totally Coach Z right there, what you just said, as far as the music and everything like that. No doubt.
When you found out that you were going to be taking his place, I mean, it's tough to replace somebody who had the magnitude that he did at Freeland. But when you found out it was your turn to be the head coach, what was that initial conversation with the players like?
The initial conversation was I tried to explain to them, and they understand. They know me. So it kind of made it a little bit easier. But I just had to explain to them that I can't be Coach Z. And I told them that nobody can, you know what I mean? But I know that Coach Z wouldn't want me to be. Coach Z just always, you know, even when I coached with him, he just wanted me to be me. And that's exactly what we've done. And I told the girls initially that, you know, a person that I talked to that had gone through some things like this told me that you can do one of two things. He goes, you can kind of sort of mire in despair where you're staying there, or you can choose to celebrate that person's life. And so I look at this conversation with you right now. This is just another chance for me to celebrate Coach Z's life. Just talk about him a little bit. You know, he did amazing things. And one of the things that one time we were in a district run, I remember, in a tournament, and a coach comes up to me, he's a varsity coach, he goes, what do you guys do over there? You know, he's looking at Coach Z and his success. And I thought about it for a minute, you know, because he goes, what's going on over there? And I thought about what Coach Z did the morning before. I go, well, I said, Coach Z makes some breakfast. And he looks at me, he goes, what do you mean? Coach Z, when they got through districts, we go into regionals, he would wake up, right in the morning, cook all the girls a complete breakfast, go into the locker room, the girls would come in the morning, and they'd have, I'm talking about hash browns, bacon, pancakes, full breakfast. You know, that's an example of a little thing, you know. And the reason I said that is because, you know, Tom, he kind of considered himself kind of an unconventional coach. You know what I mean? And those little things, you know, like the music story that you mentioned, cooking breakfast, all these little things, there's just so many of them. You know, I mean, we could sit here and talk for a long time, but, you know, that was just something I had thought of there, that he used to cook him breakfast, you know, in the tournament run. It was great.
Okay, Michigan and Michigan State don't need Gordon Ramsay. You need Gordon Ramsay because you got to replace that.
This year, yeah. It, you know what? If these girls, you know, that's one thing. I usually get excited for these girls. Like, I've been around a lot of teams, and when these girls have success, I honestly get more excited than I think I ever have before. I'm so happy for them when they have success. And so, yeah, we do certain things. And, you know, one of the things we've been doing is we take a certain amount of charges per game. We get pizza at the next practice. And those girls take it seriously. I think we had a couple charges tonight or close to it. So, yeah, you know, I'll have to brush up on my cooking skills for sure.
Now, where do you guys get pizza from? Where's the big prize for the charges coming from?
There's a number of places in Freeland. We might switch it up. I'm hoping to do it more than once. We've only done it one time. That was our last practice. And that practice, we got it from the Hungry Howies in Freeland. Yeah, we brought in pizza.
Now, some teams I've talked to this season, they give out toy championship belts from the WWE. There's little trophies like that. I like your approach, pizza.
Yeah, well, the girls like it. If you would have saw our last game, it was probably in the fourth quarter, and we took a charge, and you would have seen our bench erupt. And probably people in the crowd might not have had any idea what was going on, but the girls on the bench did because they knew the next practice we were getting pizza. So, yeah, they probably think along the same lines as you.
Moving forward, now that this is your team, what are some things that you hope to accomplish with this year's group?
Well, one of the things that we want to contend, for a conference title. So coming up here, we play a very good team next Friday in Frankenmuth. And the funny thing, I was talking to Bridgeport's coach, Mr. Sanders, before the game, and he mentioned, and we both talked about it, our conference is so competitive, so tough. It doesn't matter really who you're playing from night to night. You know, you could play any one of these teams, and they're all really good. And, you know, and Frankenmuth kind of right now is really kind of established itself as an outstanding group. They got great coaches, great kids. And, you know, so we talked about this. Coach Z mentioned before the season that, hey, this conference could be very interesting. Maybe the person who wins the conference, maybe they have a couple of losses. We don't know. You know, with a conference that's tough, you know, you have to really play well, you know, every single night. So I think he was looking forward to that too. And we have a chance Friday to come in and play a very good Frankenmuth team, and we're looking forward to that.
And not taking anything away from Bridgeport, because you guys got off to a big lead early in this one, and they kind of fought back and made it close there for a little bit. So I feel like you kind of got a test to this evening.
Definitely. I think Bridgeport has some very good players on the team, and I can tell that, you know, Coach Sanders does a great job with them, and you could see it by the way that they play. So Bridgeport, just like any of these teams this year, I guarantee you these teams are not going to look forward to playing Bridgeport. Bridgeport's a good team.
When did you first discover that you had a passion for coaching?
I would say that probably at a young age. A good friend of mine kind of got me going at it. John Wilson, who's the girls' Nouvelle varsity coach, he was coaching Arthur Hill girls at the time, and I just started by getting over there, helping him out a little bit. And I've always loved the game of basketball. And so when I started working with John, and, you know, he had some success over there, and you know, you kind of get into the education field, and I was my first head coaching job. I was hired by Coach Z, so I came in and met with him. That was the first time I got a chance to meet him, and as you know, he became a very good friend, and we've taken away from there. But it's been I've kind of noticed it, you know, probably at a decently young age, you know, that I love it. And, you know, the girls, the kids amaze you, you know, what their effort is, how they work. And you've seen some of that tonight, how they were out there.
Obviously, this is not the way that you wanted to start your head coaching career at Freeland. But now that you are the head coach, how are you liking it all?
I enjoy the fact that I know the fact that Coach Z would not have wanted anyone else to do this except me. I also enjoy the fact that I know that that's what the girls' wishes were as well. So in that respect, I'm taking it like this is kind of an extension of us getting just to celebrate Coach Z's life. So I'm enjoying it. You know, the kids are awesome. I can't say that enough, to be honest with you. We got a good group of kids. So, you know, and it's you can see out there, it's a competitive group.
Matt Hershenberger, the head coach of the Freeland girls basketball team. Coach Hershenberger, thank you so much for making the time this week. Best of luck to you moving forward.
Thank you very much.
Now over to the boys' side. Bridgeport let everyone else know this past Friday night that when it comes to the Tri-Valley Conference East, it is still very much them and everyone else. The Bearcats, they walked onto the floor to open the game against Freeland the other night with a lot of confidence and swagger, and they backed it up. They beat down on Freeland 58-18. The Bearcats are now 7-0 this season, and going back to December 5th of 2017, they are now 46-0 in the regular season. That is simply amazing. You don't get to that kind of air unless you are building something special and guys buy into it. And Kevin Marshall has done both at Bridgeport. And on Friday, they were pretty much in control from the beginning tip. Now, if anyone thought that just because Bridgeport graduated several players from last year's team that was one of the best in the state, that this year they might be vulnerable, well, they just put everyone else on notice that they're not going anywhere except maybe to the top. I had a chance to speak to Kevin Marshall after the game on Friday. Here's what he had to say.
Well, there are statement wins, and then there's what you guys just did tonight, 58-18. What kind of a statement do you feel you guys made with this win tonight?
Just to let people know that, you know, you better be prepared to play defense when you come here to Bridgeport or we come to you, because we're going to play defense. And right now, this is the third TVC East team we done held under 30 points, and that's the goal of ours. You know, we want to come in and we want to take your heart away with our defense. We got a thing we call it havoc, and we want you to feel that havoc that we're creating here in Bridgeport.
And where does that havoc come from?
Well, part of it is my intensity, But at the same time, the kids bought into the program. They bought into that vision of Havoc, and they created. Actually, that second group you see come on the floor, that's the Havoc group, the two little guys that create nothing but confusion all over the place. And the other guys feed off of it, and we do what we do.
Now, I had heard that you guys lost some players last year, and you guys were supposed to take a step back. I see you guys taking steps forward.
Thank you. We lost 9 players last year, graduate. 5 of these guys played on that team last year, and we got guys that have stepped up and got to this level. And I like people looking past us and thinking that, you know, hey, Bridgeport's done, Bridgeport's over. No, this is a program. This is just not about 1 or 2 individuals. You know, this is a program.
You guys are done when you say you're done.
That's right. We're going to go until that clock's in. You know, I'll take the pressure off for you, but we're going to still pressure you half court, and we're going to make you work. I want you to go home knowing that we played a tough team tonight, and we want you to think about us when you're playing somebody else because you got to see us again.
46 regular season wins in a row. Can you even put that into words?
No, I can't. I'm going to be honest with you. When Greg told me about it, and I was like, wow. I told our AD, I said, you know, they say we won 45 games the other day in a row. He was like, say what? I said, yeah, that's what they told me, and we're going to keep it going. And, you know, we don't look at it. We don't talk about records. We talk about our opponent and what we're going to do. So now they'll get the rest tomorrow. Sunday they'll be back in, and we focus on Swan Valley.
How proud of you are you of the tradition that you have started here?
You know, it's funny because I remember when I first took over, it was words that, hey, he's not going to do this and he's not going to do that. And I use that to motivate me. And to see these kids come in here and play, work hard from the freshman level all the way to the varsity level for the past 3 years, see kids go to college, that's what it's all about. You know, so I'm very proud of the kids. I'm very proud of the program, Bridgeport community, for supporting us and believing in us. So we feed off of all of that.
More than wins and championships, you have built some very special relationships here at Bridgeport. What does that mean to you to have that kind of relationship that goes beyond basketball and the 4 years that you get these kids?
Oh, yeah, it's that right there, brotherhood. You know, it starts from day one when they come in for tryouts. I talk to them. I give them my expectations. I give them everything that I want from them. Then I ask them, what do they want from me? And a lot of kids just tell me, Coach, we want you to push us. We want you to help us be better ball players. And I tell them to help you be better men in life. And that's the military in me, the ex-military now, that, hey, I'm going to teach you discipline. I'm going to give you a drive and a passion and a love for the game, but at the same time, the love for each other. I tell these kids every day, my phone's on 24/7. You got a problem, you just want to talk. Hey, I'm there for you. And it spills over. We had one of our players today buried his cousin today. And this morning at 5 o'clock in the morning, you seen our group chat going, hey, we love you, we're praying for your family. That's what it's all about, that these guys care for each other genuinely, not just on the basketball court.
It's more than just the wins and losses.
More than the wins and losses. It's about family to us and that brotherhood.
Coach, thank you so much for making the time. Keep it going.
Thank you. I appreciate it, and Happy New Year, and nice seeing you again.
Always good to catch up with Kevin Marshall. Thanks again for making the time, Coach. I appreciate it. And I'm really looking forward to seeing just how far you guys can take this thing. 2 years ago, I was interviewing a member of the Freeland boys basketball team after the Falcons had just won a 4th straight district championship. Now that kid was senior Jackson Huckabee. Now after I wrapped up that conversation, his mother Jennifer came up to me to tell me about the stories about their backyard basketball court. So we get to talking, and it turns out the Huckabees are from my home state of Indiana, so we hit it off right away. Now, shortly thereafter, I go out to their neighborhood in Freeland, and I find out that they have formed a tight-knit group with their neighbors. It turns out they live next door to Freeland football coach Kevin Townsend and his wife Jennifer, and across the way is the Dreyer family, Kurt and Joanna, and their son Jack, who you heard all the way back on episode 7 of A Duff Set. Now, their relationship and backyard games has not only brought success to Freeland sports, but it's now benefiting Saginaw Valley State University. They live in a cul-de-sac, and they call themselves the Sack Family. Now, I've enjoyed getting to know them over the last couple of years, and they've made Freeland one of my favorite places to travel to in mid-Michigan. They have welcomed me and my wife into their homes, and they are an amazing group. I'm happy to say they are my friends. I appreciate the relationship that we built over the last few years, so I just want to say thank you for letting me into your little circle. You see what I did there? Cul-de-sac? Circle? Anyway, I got to talk to Jennifer Huckabee, Joanna Dreyer, and Jennifer Townsend this past Friday night to not only learn about the history of the Sack family, but to see what the future holds as well. First, I got to talk to you, Joanna, because I had your son, Jack, all the way back on episode 7 in August to talk about his transition from being a linebacker and a fullback to being a kicker for the Freeland Falcons. Not only was he successful in that, it was announced recently that he made the All-State team as a kicker for Division 5, and now he's going on to play at Saginaw Valley State. What's it been like to watch him make that transition and earn a scholarship from it?
It's been awesome because Jack, his whole life, has been motivated by sports. He loves it. He would play with anybody, anywhere, anytime. It didn't have to be friends. He just wanted to play, and his dream was to play at the next level. And so I told him, you're a 6-foot kid. He loved basketball at the time. And I'm like, there's a million 6-foot guards, so you got to look at, see what your specialty is. And that's when he kind of came into football. And realized that he could go somewhere with kicking, and so he's ecstatic that it paid off for him, and he loves Saginaw Valley, and the coaches have been fantastic, and it's just been a wonderful senior year for him.
A lot of people looked at Jack, and because of his size, they thought, no way could he ever be a kicker, and he really defeated that stigma. What was it like for you to see him overcome that?
It was awesome because when he went to things out of state, most of the kids there all were soccer players that had turned to kicking for football, and he looked nothing like them. And so I think that it was great for him, great for us to see that even though he didn't fit the stereotypical look of a kicker, that he could do what those kids did. And I had to realize myself that he had something special because those kids, that's all they did was kick. And he was kicking, playing linebacker, and running back, and being successful at all three. So it's been a great thing. And doing it with his left foot, which makes him, that was his specialty. So.
It wasn't just the kids either. He told me a college coach said, no, you don't look like a kicker, go sit down. And then he changed his mind, and within a few kicks, that coach offered him a scholarship right there on the spot. That had to be a big thrill for you guys.
No, it was. He went over to kick, and the coach said, why are you over here? You're a linebacker. And he said, well, no, this other coach told me to come over and kick for you. And he said, just to see if you can? And he said, no, I'm my high school kicker. And he said, well, you don't look like a kicker. And then when he did it, he actually won the competition between all the kickers that were there for that exposure camp.
And somebody who really benefited from Jack being a really successful kicker is Jennifer Townsend. Your husband, Kevin, is the head football coach at Freeland. This was an amazing season for you guys. A district championship, and Kevin got his 100th win this season. Now, it didn't come easy because, obviously, and I've had him on the show to talk about this, he got ejected from that game, and so he didn't know if he got it right away. And so, initially, he wasn't sure if that counted in the record books, but then he got the phone call, and he got the confirmation that he had gotten the 100th win, and he told me his first call was to you, and he said, I'm about to cry. Now, is he much of a crier? I always pictured him as a hardened guy.
Oh no, he's a big softie. No, he handled that so well. I handled it way worse than he did. He did so well, walking off the field and taking it like he did, and then when he did find out that it had actually happened, and you know, we all celebrated for him, even though he wouldn't celebrate, we did it for him. And then when he found out he could join in on our celebration and our happiness, it was pretty cool. I was so proud of him.
You do a lot for the Freeland football team as the wife of the head football coach. You rallied the students, you made a banner for him that night, and you guys had a big celebration for him. What's it been like this year with everything that you guys accomplished at Freeland?
It was awesome. It was one of those years where it started out, nobody was really sure how we were going to do. It was kind of, it could go one way or the other. And the boys just worked so hard, and they did everything that Kevin asked them to do. And and he has such a great coaching staff that we got the right draw on the playoffs, and it worked out so much better than what we thought it could have. And so, I mean, I credit that a lot to the coaches. I do, because they work so hard and they watch so much film, and the boys, they work their butts off to make it that far. So it was cool.
And with Jack Dreyer going on to Saginaw Valley State, he is going to be teammates with your son Jack, who I had all the way on back on episode 2 to talk about him joining the Cardinals. When you guys saw these kids coming up, did you ever think that something like that could be possible?
Oh my gosh, no. I don't know why. That sounds horrible. It does, but Kevin always saw them going on to play at the next level and stuff. I guess I was one game at a time, enjoyed high school, whatever, and then towards the end of Jack's senior year, and I saw, oh my gosh, he's really good, and he's big, and this is a possibility, and then he goes, and I was so proud of him, and yeah, it's really cool. And then for Jack to come in, and Jack Dreyer to come in and play, and be teammates with my Jack, it's so fun to look forward to being able to spend more time with JoJo at these games and watching our kids play together, and maybe one day we'll get Bryson over there with us. And
that actually segues into my next question, Jen Huckabee, because this year Bryson, your son, got in his first full season as the quarterback for the Falcons. What did you make of the way he went along this season?
We're just so proud of him. He worked really hard in the off season, and you don't expect a little baby sophomore to be able to do the kind of things that he did, and he really did a nice job. We were super proud of his effort, and he has some great teammates around him. He's the captain. He's the one sailing the ship, and they all fell in line behind him and appreciated. I appreciate that the older kids did that for him, because they could have looked at him as a sophomore and said, yeah, we're not going to listen to you, but he took charge, and they were able to have some success.
And not only do your kids go to Saginaw Valley State now, but your husband Barry is also the assistant men's basketball coach there. So not only do you guys have roots in Freeland, but you guys are now branching out into Saginaw Valley State.
Yeah, we're kind of bleeding a little bit of green and a little bit of red and black at this point. And it's been fun. We've been back at Saginaw Valley now, I think, for 3 years, and it's been a really fun transition, and now that I've got some of my friends that now will go with me to games, and we have reasons to go to games to support not just the kids that play basketball, but now some kids that play football, so that'll be fun.
Now, for people who might not be familiar with the Sac Moms, you guys are a special group of neighbors who live on a cul-de-sac in Freeland, and we've known each other for a few years now. I've done multiple stories on you guys, but you guys have built a special relationship. How did that relationship start, and what were some of those early days like?
I think the early days were us, we all had so much in common. We all had boys. Jen's got 3, I've got 3, Joe's got 2. And it was, where are the kids? Because they were either at our house shooting hoops, Dreyer's house playing wiffle ball in the front yard, or going between Townsend's and ours and playing football. So it started with the kids, and then our friendships developed, and then it started to us being a bleacher crew, and we sat together supporting our kids, and it's just developed into Vegas vacations together and spring breaks together and pool days at Townsend's together, and Joe and I teach together. So it's been a really fun relationship that started with the kids, and just, you know, I've gained a couple of my closest friends.
I have never seen anything like this in any of the families that I've covered before. You are such a great, tight-knit group. But I want to know, who really hit it off first? Was it you guys or was it the kids?
Oh, I'm gonna say probably the kids, because mm-hmm. I think it was the kids, because we were there first, and then Joe and Kurt came shortly thereafter, and then Jen, and yeah, I definitely think the kids brought us all together, for sure.
I want to ask Joanna and Jennifer Townsend this question. The Huckabees are a big basketball family. They're known as the basketball bunch of the cul-de-sac. Mm-hmm. So when they put in that big basketball court in the backyard, what was that like, and what kind of impact did that have on your guys' relationship?
I'll tell you.
my kids played travel hockey when we first met, and my friend Jen here had never seen a hockey game in her life. She did not know what a Zamboni was.
We're Hoosiers. We don't have hockey.
I know. I got you. And so their goal was to turn my kids into basketball players. And so my kids started going to Northwood, actually basketball camps, mm-hmm. before they were even age eligible mm-hmm. to yeah. go. And so they fell in love with it right away. And so I think that we loved it because we all boys. They like to play sports. They like to be outside. And we were happy to have that in our neighborhood for something for them to do, which wasn't inside playing video games or watching TV. So,
and there's some mean 20, what is it called, 21? That it's the dads and the kids. Yeah. So it's not just the boys are out there playing. Sometimes we'll cook, we'll have a cookout or something, and then next thing you know, it's who's playing two ball. That's what it is, two ball. Who's gonna play two ball? And it'll be a dad and a kid, and not necessarily dads and kids that go together. It might be Townsend and a Huckabee, or a, you know, a Dreyer and a Townsend, and they all play against each other. And so it's not just the boys that have utilized that court. The dads have used it a few times too.
And you guys really started something with that court, and then you made a huge addition to it recently. You put lights in the backyard. How late are those games going to?
Well, I will tell you, there were several times this summer that if my curtains aren't shut, I can see things glowing. And I looked out more than once, and it was either Jack Dreyer out there by himself, or my youngest Wilson turns them on. The kids know, not just on the cul-de-sac, but in the neighborhood, if you want to come shoot, this is how you turn them on. Don't have them on after a certain time because we have lots of little kids in our neighborhood too, and we don't want to be disrespectful to them. But, you know, turn them off when you leave. You know, it's there for everybody.
Yeah, that's like always kind of been the rule. It's like you're always welcome at the Huckabee House to shoot on the court.
Absolutely, because we want more district championships, and we want a regional championship, and we want all that stuff that goes on. And if it starts on the sack, then I'm all for it.
Yeah, this is a question for all of you guys. Could you ever have imagined that what started on that little court in their backyard could have turned into four district championships for Freeland boys basketball?
No, but it's it's pretty cool. I loved it when they, because we had the hoop in our driveway. That's where it started, and our hoop was always the low hoop, so the boys could all dunk on our hoop, and then they'd go over to Huckabee's and they would never lower their hoop for the boys. So they, at our house, I'd hear them in the morning, every morning before school, they'd be out there playing basketball on ours, because it was low and they could dunk and they felt good. But Jen's court was the real court.
In addition to being moms and basketball families and hockey families and football families, you guys are also Freeland super fans. When it comes to game night, what are some of the rituals that you guys have?
Well, we definitely stop and get something to eat, usually, especially when we're on the road. And then after the game, it's usually the Second Street Pub there in town. And we usually sit together pretty close, in close proximity, because I have a bag of suckers, and sometimes you need a sucker because you need to stop talking in general, whether it's yelling at officials or yelling at our children. And so we have a bag that says, suck it, and sometimes we just have to pass the bag around so we can all just be quiet.
And we're superstitious about where we sit at football. Mm-hmm. Jen Townsend has a plaque on the fence where that's her spot, and usually Kevin, when he gets there, puts blankets down, and that's where we sit. Mm-hmm. And some of us are superstitious about what jewelry we wear, mm-hmm. and I have to have certain ones on. But
okay, so what's the jewelry? I see you're wearing a Freeland necklace mm-hmm. right now that has your son's name on it. But is that it, or is there something else?
It depends. Like at each season, it's different. It's if we start to win with something, then that's what we wear every single time. Or it might be a bracelet or mm-hmm. earrings or.
And my necklace is, we call Bryson BH1 because that's how he learned to write his name when he was little. I don't know why. So I got a necklace.
He was working on his autograph.
Yes, exactly. And he could only make three letters and two letters and a number. So this summer I got a necklace made with BH1 on it. So that's what I wore all through football, and then I've been wearing it on game days. But we all have like Falcon bracelets or just green and white, green bracelets. I mean, we've always got something green on our wrist too.
When it comes to the suckers and not having to talk, who is the loudest of the three of you? They're pointing at Jen Townsend.
Football, 100%.
I lose my mind. I don't. I'm not normally a loud,
aggressive
person.
Football
it is. It is. Because I say the same things over and over again, but I can't help it. Kev says he hears me,
So that's,
and so does Jackson as he's watching the broadcast. Yeah. Every once in a while I'll get a text from our oldest that says, we can hear you guys.
They can hear you all the way from Shrine University.
Yes. Yes.
That's the curse of sitting underneath the press box.
Yes, for sure.
When did the Fatheads come into play? Because one of the first games that I saw the three of you, you guys all had Fatheads of your kids.
Oh, geez. I think, Jen, you started that.
Yeah,
right?
I think maybe Zachary was a senior.
Yep.
So that's been four years. This is the fourth year that we've done them. Yeah. And I love it when kids act like idiots in a positive way in the stands. And they're just, I feel like there's there's not a lot of school spirit. And it's just kind of in general. Kids will go and they'll support and they'll watch the game. But they're not yelling and acting crazy. So we decided to get those. Jackson was a junior and Zachary Townsend was a senior. And we got them then. And then once we got those, we've been getting them every year since. So you always you take out the seniors and then you add in the newbies. So we've got quite a collection going.
Like we touched on earlier, you and I are both from Indiana, where basketball is a religion. Mm-hmm. And you brought in Hoosier Hysteria to Freeland. What are some of the things that you were hoping to accomplish when you came to Freeland for the first time and really wanted to get the crowd into it?
I am still, along with my girls, working super hard at getting people to stand for the fight song. That is one thing that just doesn't happen. I don't understand why it doesn't happen. So if you, next time you come to the high school and you're covering a game and the fight song is on, you will see us standing and you'll see a few people standing on the opposite side. But that's something I'd really like to see, that by the time Wilson, who's in sixth grade, by the time he's done, that just is second nature, that as soon as you hear that Michigan State fight song, everybody's up and everybody's clapping, because it just lets the kids know that you're supporting them and you're excited.
I know you guys got a couple of kids moving on to Saginaw Valley State, but what does the future hold on the horizon for the Sack family?
Tiny house living. We're going to live in tiny houses together in a neighborhood, or maybe like Myrtle Manor. Yeah. We might live in some trailers down in Florida. You know, I don't know.
We're waiting for shamans to find us a place that we can build a new little subdivision with tiny houses.
Yes.
Yeah. A lazy river.
Yeah.
Are we talking like tiny houses on the show, tiny houses?
Well, I can't go too tiny because I'm married to a giant. So mine has to be like, tiny is a relative thing. Yeah. But I still have a
Barry
sixth
grader.
Barry
would never survive.
No. And I still have a baby. I still have a sixth grader. They're done, empty nesters, and then she has two more years and, you know, dryers are done, so they have to wait for me to be done and cheer on little Willie, and then we can do it.
I would never move until they're ready to move.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine that. I couldn't imagine being in a neighborhood without them. It'd be so weird. I couldn't do it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, when did the vacations come into it? When did that first start?
That was a Vegas vacation for somebody's birthday.
It was Kevin's 40th.
Yes, 7 years ago, something like that. It's been a while. Yeah, it's natural progression.
Yeah.
So you guys go all over the world together. So this isn't just the cult of Zach and Freeland. This is nationwide.
Yeah, we're going global.
Yeah. When all the kids are gone, there's going to be some traveling.
Yeah.
We're going on a houseboat in May.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, wait, we're all going on spring break.
Yeah.
In March and April, and then we're going on a houseboat in May. So. Yep.
Well, wherever you guys go, send me a postcard. And I have a special request for you guys. I don't know if you can make this happen or not. I've never been on my own fat head. I've never had one. Because this right here, this is actual size. So that would be its own fat head. But could you make that happen for me?
I think we could probably arrange that.
I think we need a deaf fat head.
Yes.
Absolutely.
For sure. And then, I thought for sure you were going to ask Joanna to sing. She has the voice of an angel.
No. True, very true.
Joanna is actually my hockey pal because you are also one of the ushers at the Dow Event Center. So you and I were alongside one another, watched that amazing playoff run by the Spirit last year. How much do you enjoy going to the games?
I love it because I grew up skating and then played hockey myself. So I love it. Like I love watching it. But life has gotten busy now, so I don't get to play anymore, and I don't get to go to as many games as I used to. But
is that something you kind of regret, because you guys have had so much traditions in football and basketball, but is there a part of you that would have liked to have seen your kids play some hockey?
There is. Like I said before, is that Jack, he wanted to play everything. So at one point in his life, he was on travel hockey, travel soccer, playing football, travel baseball. And I don't know what else he did. And we finally had to say, you got to pick something. And it was the right choice. He stuck with, picked some other things and spent some time with kids in his neighborhood and at, in his school. Owen, our other son, is really good at hockey. He switched to basketball, but I think he misses hockey, and I do miss watching them play because it's a fun sport to watch. Nothing else like it. But
so. Well, thank you so much for making the time this week. This was an awesome conversation. Wherever you guys go next, just be sure to send me a postcard.
100%.
We have a fat head.
Yeah, and a fat head. Yes, make that happen. Jennifer Townsend, Jennifer Huckabee, and Joanna Dreyer, they are the Sack Moms. And to Barry, Kevin, and Kurt, the Sack family, and all the boys, thank you so much for being my guests this week on A Duff Said. That's going to wrap it up for episode 23. Episode 24 will be dropping very soon, so be looking for that wherever you listen to podcasts on your favorite listening device. Until then, this is Duff Tyler reminding you that if Duff said it, it must be true, because that's what A Duff Said.